Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. There's two great truths set forth in the scriptures concerning men or women coming to Christ. Now, you know, we speak of coming to the Lord. And coming to the Lord is a heart issue. It's a movement, a desire, an action of the heart. I used to think it was coming down an aisle. You know, and like I said, the only difference between you and me right here is just a few feet between me or a few extra feet. That coming to Christ is an issue of the heart. I want to. And coming to Christ is going to be one of two ways. It's either going to be that a man or a woman comes to the Lord in their heart because the Spirit of God has given them a new heart to want to do that, made willing in the day of His power. It's either that way, or it's that someone comes because they exercised their own will, and it can't be that, because the Scripture says that in John chapter 1, I know it can't be that, because John chapter 1 says in verse 13, which were born, talking about people that come, which were born not of blood, it wasn't because they were born with blood to come, nor of the will of the flesh. And that's what that's talking about right there, the will of the flesh. Flesh dead. Flesh, it's not by, nor the will of man, but of God. God's got to do something for somebody. Now that glorious truth is set forth. But there's one other thing that's set forth. If someone does not come, they go through this life and they don't want to come. They never come. The reason that they don't come is because they don't want to. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. They either come because God gives them a new heart, or they're going to come by their free will. And I know that's not right. I know that's not right because the Scripture says it's not right. That we're dead. And if you're dead, you just can't do anything. But if I don't come, it's because I don't want to come. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says. Now, the last time we considered this passage of Scripture, we looked at verse 1, and the last part of verse 1 says, receive not the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? Receive not the grace of God in vain. Here's what it says. Don't hear the truth of God's grace to sinners and treat it with no respect. Don't do that. Don't take an empty attitude, that's another word that we don't receive in vain. Don't take an empty attitude toward that grace and just push away, shove off. God's salvation and grace in Christ. Now, I want us to consider what God Almighty has to say about why we're not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, this is what he's talking about. Don't take an indifferent attitude toward God's word. The first thing we've got to do is find out, what is God saying? What did he really say? Not what men say, he's saying. I want to see it, Mark, in the scriptures. You show me in the word of God. If I'm going to base my eternal soul on something, listen, I've told you this before, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I'm going to stand before God. I know that. And I don't want to stand before God in ignorance. I pray that the Lord teach me something. Teach me who I am. Teach me who you are. Teach me concerning salvation. I want to know. Don't lie to me. Eternity's a long time. The scripture says in this second verse, I want to just read verse 2. He had just said, "We then as workers together with him beseech you always that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, that word now, behold now, how long has that time frame? That when it says now, I mean, you know, we're talking about now, right now. How long has that now been? How long will it be? How long is now? Well, I can tell you it's from the creation till the second coming of Christ. That's the only time frame that we're going to be able to be saying anything about now. So I want to look at this for just a few minutes, and let's consider what the Spirit of God has to say. And may the Lord grant grace to bow to this, bow to it. His word's not going to pass away. Mine is. Mine ain't going to hold water. Heaven and earth's going to pass away. But His word will never. So, Lord, help me here. For he saith. That's how verse 2 starts. For he saith. Now, these are not the words of the Apostle Paul. These are the words of God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men. And here's the truth that's been given as the reason. And this is what verse 2 is all about. The scripture said in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Receive not the grace of God in vain." Verse 2 tells us why. So I want to look, here's the truth, why we're not to receive the grace of God in vain, to think of it in a light or vain way. Now, "For he saith." Now, when did he say this? All right, hold your place. Turn to Isaiah 49. And let's hear. Let's just hear what the Lord has to say. Isaiah 49, verse 5-9. This is where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, was quoting. This is what he was quoting. Isaiah 49:5. "And now saith Jehovah, the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an accepted time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth; to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Now, the scripture is setting forth that God the Father is speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's concerning his work of redemption at Calvary. Now, back in, I turned away, and I shouldn't have. Isaiah 49, he says verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob to him, where it says, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Now, if you have a margin there, and I looked this up to find out, because somebody put something in a margin, it was put there by the translators to be a help, but I looked it up, and this is the literal of what it's saying. It says in our Bible, though Israel be not gathered, but in the margin, which is correct, it says that Israel may be gathered to him, and I may be glorious in his sight. So actually what he's saying is, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, that Israel may be gathered unto him, and I may be glorious in his sight. So the Lord is speaking, and he's got a people. He said, the Lord Jehovah that formed me. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's speaking of being formed in the womb. How was the Lord formed in the womb? By the Spirit of God. That which is conceived with it in thee is of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't by natural conception as we think of. It was by the Spirit of God. And here's the Lord speaking to his Father, the Lord Jesus. He says, I'm the one that you formed from the womb to be your servant, to bring Jacob. Again, now who is Jacob? Well, you know who Jacob is. Jacob, the Lord speaking, and he spoke of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Now, what did he say about these two boys? We see this in Malachi. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, what did the Lord say concerning these two boys? He said, I'm going to show mercy to this one, and I'm going to leave this one to himself. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, Romans chapter 9. Let's just turn there. I can't do this. I ain't going to quote it, Neil. Let's read it. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. Look at verse 13. Romans 9:13. As it is written. Where is that written? Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now verse 14 says, now what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, here's what he's saying. Is God unrighteous because he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? He says in verse 14, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scriptures saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And thou, you know, and here's the Spirit of God anticipating what somebody like me, who by nature is going to say. Now this is what I'm talking about, all of us by nature. We're going to rear up our head and our pious face and we're going to say, well, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And the Spirit of God moved Paul to say, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The scriptures are bearing something out here. God Almighty is God. He's God. And we're not. Almighty God is who he says he is. And he rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So here back in Isaiah 49, verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob again to him. These Jacobs that the Lord has declared are the objects, the vessels of his affection. I asked someone one time when they questioned me concerning this. I told them, I said, first of all, I said, let me say this. I said, I didn't say this. God said it. God said it. And if I deny it, Fred, is he going to change the word of God? No. God's just going to deal with me. That's what he's going to do. He's going to deal with me. The Lord is the Lord. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 6 of Isaiah 49, he saith, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now when the scripture says, is it a light thing? He wasn't asking if Christ's death was an insignificant thing. But he was declaring the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ carried the weight, the ability, the power, not only save the Jacobs of Jerusalem, of Jews, but the Jacobs of the Gentiles too. There's Jacobs founded Jews and Gentiles. God's got Jacobs in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. God's got his people, and he's going to save them. He's going to call them out. So the reason that we, first of all, don't receive the grace of God in vain is because of what was accomplished for sinners found all over the world. Sinners of God's choosing. But not only what he accomplished in the redemption of his people, those given to him in Christ before the foundation of the world, but who accomplished it. Think of who accomplished this grace that we're not to receive in vain. Back in, here again, in Isaiah 49, 5. Listen, the one who accomplished our salvation, the one that was formed from the womb, is the servant of Jehovah. This is God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Here again, Isaiah 49, 5, look at the wording. And now saith the Lord, Jehovah, that formed me, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the womb to be his servant. And look here, to bring Jacob again to him. Do you know that if the Lord didn't, in regenerating grace and power, come to a vessel of God's mercy and arrest him like you did old Saul of Tarsus. Was Saul of Tarsus looking for Christ? No. Does any man of himself seek after God? Nope. That's what Scripture says. No man seeketh after God. Somebody said, if you'll just seek the Lord, listen, unless God gives me a new heart and gives me in regenerating grace and gives me faith to believe, I'm not going to seek him. Why? Well, because I don't want to. I don't want to. I have no heart to. I don't want to come. But if he gives me a new heart, I do, to bring Jacob. So who accomplished this salvation? Who accomplished this glorious exhibition, can I say it like that, of God's grace? Don't receive this in vain. Don't receive that Almighty God has chosen a people in Christ, and Christ has redeemed them, and Christ is calling them out. Don't receive that in vain. Don't push that away. Don't hold on to this fickle thinking that salvation is in my hands to accomplish it, that God's wanting to give it to me if I'll just take it. Don't put it in my hands because it's not there. Don't receive this in vain. Don't resist this in vain. Who accomplished the salvation of God's elect? Who accomplished it? The servant. The servant. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jonah said. Salvation's of the Lord. Who said, it is finished? The Lord. And how does he call them out? He calls them out under the sound of this gospel that gives God Almighty all the glory and honor and praise. And the Spirit of God blesses this message. The servant, God's servant, who raises up the tribes of Jacob, who establishes and confirms God's elect in the true worship of him and restores the preserved of Israel. God who kept them. I'm so thankful. When I think about, and I know many of you, you can relate to, I've said this before, that's okay. I'll say it again. When I think about the years and years and years that I went, I was in religion. I've been in religion a long time. Long time. When I think about God keeping me, in the midst of my arrogant rebellion, didn't even know what I was doing. I was in religion, but I was so ignorant. If Almighty God would have let me die in that sin and rebellion, but for the grace of God, where would I be there? He kept me. Receive not the grace of God in vain because of the one who has wrought our salvation. The one that the Scripture says in verse 7, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. I understand why man by nature hates this message of sovereign grace. I understand it. I get it. I really do. I can understand it in my mind because there was a time that I hated this message. Don't try to take away my free will. Don't try to take away my choice. Don't try to take that away. Because when you take that away, you're taking away my God. You tell me that God loves me and he wants to save me if I'll let him. That's what man by nature wants to hear. That's why this is the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth. Man by nature hates God Almighty, because God does as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And so here's the Lord. Look in verse 8 of Isaiah 49. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. Now this is God the Father still speaking to the Son. In that acceptable time, I have heard thee. The Father has always heard the Son. Do you think the Father eternally heard, according to that covenant of grace, that eternal covenant of God's grace? Do you think God the Father heard the Lord Jesus Christ, who answered the call according to God's sovereign grace? God the Father is the one said to be the one, the electing God. Ephesians 1 verse 4 bears that out. God the Father, Ephesians 1 4, chose a people. God the Son is the Redeemer. I will answer. You think he heard that? You think he heard the answer? You think he heard the answer? I will answer. I'm the servant. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what he said in time. The Lord said that. That's what he said to his disciples when they, you remember the woman at the well in Sychar? And they went to get some meat, and he came back and he was talking, and they told him, we got something to eat. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, he said that in time. But God never changes. You think he's always said that? You think the Father heard it? I've heard thee in time accepted. You think he heard him in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, and he cried out, he knew he was going to be made sin. He knew that. He had made me, he was going to be made sin. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Not that he was going to die. That wasn't that burden of his heart. Here is the Lord of glory in anguish, greatly, greatly in anguish, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And he says, Father, this prayer just amazes me. He said, if it be any other way, but this way, but not my will, but thine be done. That just amazes me. That here's the Lord of glory saying, if it could be any other way, nevertheless, he was going to be made sin. You think the Father heard that? If there would have been any other way for him to redeem his people other than him being made what we are, sin. Somebody said, well, he wasn't really made sin. My friend, if he wasn't made sin, then why did God Almighty pour out his wrath upon him? He bore our sin in his own body. That's what he was made to be. He was made sin. And bearing all of the guilt of his people. I lay down my life for the sheep. And bearing all the guilt of his people. God Almighty forsook him. And killed him. Justly. Somebody said, well, I don't know. I said, if he didn't kill him justly, then God did an unjust thing. And that ain't so. He died under the judgment of God's law. The soul that sinneth, he knew no sin, but he was made sin, and he died. I've heard thee in an acceptable time. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. In that time. Now, all right, now let's go back, and I'll wrap this up. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I wanted to give us the foundation of what was being said right here. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the time of God's favor and grace in Christ. When is that time? Now listen. Let's listen. When is it? And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, the day of salvation, that day of salvation, that as far as we are concerned, is today. But let me tell you concerning God's will and God's purpose. That day of salvation, God saw it when the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. That's what Revelation says. God saw it when Christ was made sin. He saw it in time. In that day that the Scripture says, I succored thee. Now he's talking about Christ when he died on the cross in his human flesh, while he by himself wrought out salvation of his people by his obedient sufferings and death. He was sustained. He was kept. I'll prove it. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to come and wrap this up. I promise. Isaiah 50, verse 5. Listen to the obedient servant that was helped, that was succored, that was sustained. It was God Almighty, God who is just. God Almighty who could not but forsake it because of the people that he was redeeming, bearing their guilt. And God sustained him. And let me tell you about the one that was being sustained, what he did. Isaiah 50, starting here in verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. What did he mean by that? Oh, let me just read it to you right quickly. Exodus 21. The Lord God has opened mine ear. What's he talking about? Exodus 21, verse 2 to 6. It says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, she hath borne him sons or daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, what is the Lord Jesus Christ saying in Isaiah 50? It says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. What's he saying? I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm not going to leave. Here was the suffering servant of Jehovah. This is the reason. Don't receive this grace in vain. Why? Because of his submission in the accomplishment of it. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation. Have I succored thee? I've sustained you. Then he says, behold, give me your attention. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Just as there was an accepted time for the accomplishment of the salvation of the church and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm talking to all of us right now. And let's just be honest. We don't have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. You will not speak to somebody that believes more the truth set forth concerning God's sovereignty. I believe this. I may not be able to preach it as well as some, but I believe it. But I'm telling you, I know this. Almighty God's going to call his sheep. He's going to call them. All that the Father, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a truth. That's God's truth. That's God's sovereignty. And if God Almighty leaves a man to himself, what's that man going to do? He's not going to come. But I have to, according to these scriptures, I have to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today. It's, well, I'm going to come back to, well, you might not. You might not. Remember that king that's told Paul? He said, I tell you, I'll hear this matter a little later. In a more convenient time, I'll listen to what, you know, you have to say. Never came. I wonder how many times, Neil, that guy remembers that right now. You know, there's an accepted time. This time that we're living in right now. The only reason that we're sitting here this morning, not in hell, if we don't know him, is because this is the day of God's grace. In that day, when that trump sounds, it's over. It's over. All the explaining, all of the, you know, it's not going to matter. It won't matter. I'm not, you know, people say, well, you know, do y'all give an invitation? I just did. I'm telling you, God's going to save his people. I can tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the debt of his elect. He's put away their sin, and there is now therefore no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. I can tell you this, and when God Almighty calls his sheep, they're coming. But I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. I pray God bless this to his glory and our good. Amen. All right, let's just take a break.